to live righteously. It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 22nd of June. If this dog keeps licking my knees, I am not going to be able to not giggle the entire time we do this.
It's not the dog.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this.
Just kidding.
How you were able to talk and nibble on my knees, I won't know.
But that,
talk about gifts of the spirit.
Or something.
Yeah. It's me, Richie T. I'm joined by just Joni. We got Molly Mormon, and at some point, because we're in her house, we know we'll be joined by Lindsay. Ertz! And she'll talk about
I actually
SLC.
Don't know how you say her last name.
It's Ertz. Like,
okay.
Raise your hands in the air. It's like you just don't care.
Ertz.
she'll ask, watch, when she comes in, because she's not in the room right now, when she comes in, I'll pronounce her last name, and she'll say, no, it's, and she'll give you the same explanation as I just gave you.
Okay.
Articles of news for the week of the 22nd of June, and me, Richie T. Big news coming up at the end of this episode. I want you guys to know that. And I also want, I tell you that too, so you'll help me remember.
Okay.
So that I announce
you remember
it.
That big news?
A big news, two big newses actually, about the Cultural Hall.
Okay.
One that will really affect a lot of people, and one that won't affect anyone at all.
Okay.
But both big news. So we can go ahead and do that. Who wants to start with what's going on? Hey, we're starting.
That one does.
We're rolling.
We want to hear about you climbing out. That's
important.
What.
It's Lindsay Ertz.
Throw your hands in the air. That's how I described it on the news.
Wow.
I'm good, huh?
My goodness.
Right?
I know her
like
well.
Like you just don't
care.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
See?
I'm down.
People are not going to believe that happened.
No, okay. but it's real. I told people that because I do the same thing that I always do whenever I interview you, which is, and they go, oh, I don't know. Both Molly and Joni said, oh, I don't know how to pronounce it, actually. And I said, you watch. When Lindsay comes in, I'll mispronounce her last name, and she'll say, throw your hands in the air.
Yeah, that's my
like you just don't care.
There you go.
That's my line.
Sweet.
Okay?
Beautiful house. Here, your dog is licking my kneecaps,
which
I love. No, it's fine. So long as he doesn't audibly lick my kneecaps, I don't care.
We're wondering if your dog's name is Bear.
No, his name's Buddy.
Buddy.
But he kind of looks like a bear.
Yeah.
Buddy Bear.
Buddy.
What?
Nothing.
Is it not okay that your dog's name's Buddy?
No, I knew a dog named Buddy once.
Yeah?
Yep.
I almost stayed a night in prison once. Buddy.
I wondered what if your bear's name was Dog.
Yeah.
It's humongous.
Oh, really?
It's a big dog.
He's like 60 pounds. He's a black lab shepherd mix type deal.
Well, when you come from the lower stair and then you come in through your house, he looks a lot bigger.
He does. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I was on a phone call and I couldn't manage that situation.
No, that's fine. Listen, now that Climb Out SLC has happened and people are looking for you to be a part of their organization so you can make it successful, I get it. Jenny needs to plug in her phone. That's what that sign language is about.
Okay.
Is there a place?
Right behind you.
Right behind me, apparently.
Unplug the black one.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
You want to hear about Climb Out?
Yes, please.
Okay, you guys, this was a
fantastic Wait, let me stop real quick. Did you send pictures to Anna already so she could post them on Instagram?
I will.
At the Cultural Hall?
I will do that.
Promise?
A whole Dropbox full.
Okay, yes. We don't need a whole Dropbox full.
Okay, I'll send you three or four.
Okay, perfect.
There's 40 of them. So Climb Out SLC was an event I did this past Saturday where we climbed out of the darkness to raise awareness for postpartum issues. I went through some 3 months after Lucy was born, and I've been very open about my struggle because it's something that is just, that helped me. It was therapeutic for me. I know not a lot of women are like me, or not most women are not like me.
That's what your husband says.
Anyways, so...
No, for real, that's what your husband says. There's not very many women like my wife.
That's true.
It's very flattering. Why did everyone shoot daggers at me?
Because we're usually waiting for the big... But ching.
Yeah, wait.
So.
He doesn't want to be complimentary.
Exactly.
There we go. Because he's such a jerk. Go ahead.
So anyways, the event was on Saturday. We hiked up Enzyme Peak to symbolize the climb that is raising out of the darkness of postpartum issues. We had about 50 people there. We got news coverage from Fox 13. I did radio all last week to promote it. And it was just a huge success. We raised a little over $1,000.
That's awesome.
Which is really good for the first year of this.
And where does the money go?
The money goes back to the website called Postpartum Progress.
Cool.
This is a nonprofit that helped me tremendously. Just found them online, basically Googling my symptoms because I didn't know where else to turn. And this website popped up. And led me to a post on those scary thoughts, you know, that I'm having. What mm-hmm. if I just put my baby in the fire? And they're almost like vivid images. Mm-hmm. So this website led me to that and really just reassured me that I was not that person. I was not going to hurt my baby. Mm-hmm. The anxiety that I was having was the sign that I was not going to hurt my baby, because I knew the difference between right and wrong. So if any women are having those thoughts right now and they're panicking, they don't know what to do, just know you are not going to hurt your baby if you're having that anxiety. So anyways, turning to this website, Postpartum Progress, really helped me. I emailed them a couple months ago and said, hey, former radio host here in Salt Lake, how can I help? What can I do? I really wanted to get into speaking about this issue. And they said, we're looking for a climb leader here in Salt Lake. So I organized this climb and it was a total success.
Sweet.
Year one in the books. We're going to do it again. So
nice.
Way to go. Look forward to
way
it.
To be an advocate.
Hooray. Thank you. And I know, Joni, you've been very open about your struggles
right.
too
yeah,
with
yeah.
depression and such. Was yours postpartum onset or just
not onset? Okay. I have clinical.
But I bet it was intensified
it
with postpartum.
Sure was. And pregnancy.
Pregnancy
actually,
depression.
Pregnancy mm-hmm. was horrendous for me. Really, really bad.
You hear that, kids?
Yeah. Yay. But no, I've had like clinical depression for all of my adult life.
Yeah.
So.
And this is why everyone's case is different, because everyone has different histories, biology, you know, just chemical makeup, hormones are different, thinking styles are different. I have an obsessive brain. So the OCD-ness really came out in me in postpartum. Just those negative train of thoughts that just spiraled quickly into despair, you know, those that just kind of cycle. Mm. When we did the when you did the interview with the woman about OCD, mm-hmm. that she had OCD, hers wasn't postpartum onset, but I really related to that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I went through some of that. Like, I had a little bit of that, too. And getting to the point of panic attacks, too, because I just didn't know what was happening. So.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyways, we're raising awareness. We raised money. And it was funny. I started the event and I was like, I just wanted it to be an uplifting event. Right. And I just said, I know it's really counterintuitive to like cheer for depression, but I was just like, I just wanted this to be a rah, rah. Like, we can do this. We can climb out. There is hope.
Yeah, you're not cheering for depression. You're cheering for people.
Exactly.
Yay, depression.
Yay, go depression and anxiety.
Oh,
you know?
I don't want to.
I'm so excited that you guys are talking about this, because when I had babies 100 years ago, we didn't talk about it.
Right?
Well, yeah. Isn't your youngest like
did.
Six?
She's
okay.
Seven. That's fine.
All right.
But my
it's not 100 years.
30.
Oh, so, right, right. So you've been having
you
babies
have
for
a 30-year-old child.
Yeah, since you were
it?
Two.
Yeah. Shut yeah. the front door.
Yeah, I had her when I was one.
Oh. You're not 31. Wait a minute.
Actually,
wait.
Hold on. This,
that's
I
not
mean,
true.
I'll wait my turn, but I actually have something in this vein that I want to say. So if it is my turn, I'll say it. If not, say
no,
wait
no,
my turn.
Go with what Jenny was saying, then we'll go to you. Don't forget it.
I won't.
Tie a knot.
Will not forget.
No, I just think that it's great because it needs to be talked about. And also, name drop Catherine Stone.
Right. We have a mutual friend.
Yeah. So Catherine Stone is the founder of Postpartum Progress.
Yes. Cool.
She Mormon?
No.
Ah, can we
yes.
get her? Can we
can
get
we,
her Mormon?
Maybe.
But she and I worked together on the Shout Out Life campaign for the United Nations Foundation.
Cool.
And I adore her, and I'm just so excited
that
you brought this to Salt Lake.
So. Yeah, so she started the website, but the way she's orchestrated this so that moms in every city lead these climbs, and that's a genius idea, mm-hmm. right? To take everyone else's leadership skills and abilities and spread the word in their own communities. So that's kind of what I'm doing in Salt Lake here.
Right.
But yeah, she's fantastic, and I'm constantly amazed at how she reaches out to everybody and like one-on-one, and that's one of the benefits you'll get from Postpartum Progress. They have an anonymous online forum that helped me so much. I could go on and just type my symptoms and someone would respond to me and say, you're not alone. People have done this before. You've been through this.
Yep.
So,
and that's often
it's
like
amazing.
The biggest step.
Yeah.
So yeah, if any listeners of the podcast are
show.
Out there of the show, show are out there that have, that participated in their own city's climb out, we would love to hear about it.
Yeah,
and
we had Springville, Ogden, Tooele. There were hikes in all those
anyway,
cities,
Baltimore,
too.
Baltimore, I think, raised the most money.
Uh-huh.
And last I heard, or last I saw on her Facebook page, it was like over $200,000.
$230,000, I think we're up to now.
Awesome.
Well just
done,
for this nonprofit. Yeah, and Salt Lake City contributed $1,000 of that in our first year. So
bravo.
We are happy about it. And just normalizing this issue, right? If women felt like this wasn't a big deal, they could probably suffer a lot less. I don't think it would take it away, but
sure.
but normalizing it would help in that
yes.
regard.
All right.
Absolutely. So a few weeks back, I was listening to Articles of Email. It was the Articles of Email episode.
Hey, you know.
Richie does the best he can, everyone.
Here's the deal. Not my full-time job, this cultural hall, all right? So sometimes...
You know what, though? I enjoyed the episode.
Someday I'll be able to peel a curtain back and people will go, oh, really? That was what was behind the Articles of Email? You know what? A pass. But no. Because it's none of y'all's business right now.
Now listen. Listen to me. There was an email read and I only listened to it one time, but it seared itself into my brain and I cannot stop thinking about it and I have to respond.
Okay.
This is not a rebuttal. This is my plea for education. So the email stated something along the lines of, I'm so sick and tired of people blaming other people for people's suicides. Like, oh, that person made that other person commit suicide, because suicide is an individual choice. It's not anybody else's fault. And you know, all this, like, oh, I got bullied and then I committed suicide and it's that bully's fault. And the emailer, whose name I don't even know, is sick of that whole, like, blaming other people. And I would like to say that, yes, suicide is an individual choice. However, I would like people to think about it in terms of someone who really, truly is suffering from mental illness and is, if they have any kind of suicidal ideation, for them, the choice isn't, I'm just going to go kill myself. Often the choice is, today I'm not going to. Today I am not going to. Because the thoughts, and I speak from personal experience, the thoughts are so extraordinarily powerful, distorted, and consuming of this idea of, everyone in my life would be so much better if I were not here. That the struggle is not like, oh, I hate my life, I'm going to kill myself. It's, there has got to be something valuable about me that should make me not want to kill myself, and I'm going to cling on to that.
Absolutely.
And so if you picture someone on a precipice with the wind blowing against them, trying to push them off a cliff, and they are fighting against that wind, and then there is some person blowing on them, and that's the final straw that pushes them over. Indeed, it was not that person who killed them. It wasn't.
There's a lot that contributes to the wind.
But there is a lot that contributes to the wind. And if we could just understand people a little bit more, and she's, I believe it was a woman that wrote the email, but there was a comment made that they knew a person who lived in their parents' basement and they were 30 years old and they just played video games all day and they had depression and the comment was made, if this person would just be encouraged or forced to do something a little bit hard, then they would be able to, you know, like, pull themselves out of it. And those are the attitudes that are so crippling towards people who suffer with mental illness. Because if you imagine, like, having a broken leg and everyone around you saying, your leg looks fine, you just, the reason you're not walking is because you're not standing up and walking. Mm-hmm. Just stand up and walk, please. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, okay.
You try
and you get up and it hurts really bad and you're watching everyone else around you walking around and you're thinking, what is wrong with me that I can't walk? Why is this so, so hard? And everyone is around you is like, you're never going to learn to walk if you don't try. You've got to try. And all I have to say is, I don't understand why every other part of your body can get sick and you will get sympathy. But if your brain gets sick, people think it's your fault or that you're weak. I plead, 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 and I'm trying to keep my composure here. If you are suffering from mental illness or you know someone who is suffering from mental illness, they don't need more wind. They need someone to hold them up. If your son is a 30-year-old man playing in your basement, maybe that's his hard. Don't tell people that they're not going through anything hard. Okay? That's all I have to say. It's real. it's true. Compassion is what we need. And that's me. Thanks.
And it's real whether you've experienced it your whole life or whether it's postpartum onset, you know, it's real.
Like, it is truly. I once had a sibling of mine flippantly tell me that my opinion didn't matter because I'd never gone through anything difficult in my life. And I was like, wow, if only you had any clue.
Right.
So, for my broken leg analogy, for those people saying, but that's different, I am telling you, it is not different. Your bone in your leg is a real physical thing that can break. Your brain in your head is a real physical thing that can break. It manifests itself differently, but people need compassion. They don't need people saying, come on, just stand up on your broken leg, you big wuss.
Amen, sister.
Okay, that's
preach
all.
It.
Thank you.
Nobody ever grew from being measured. You're welcome.
Thanks, Molly.
Well, no, somebody said that to me, and I was like, yeah, and that's exactly what I thought of, was like the criticism that comes along with people who are struggling in any capacity, but certainly in this case.
And I will tell you, I have never been to the level of depression it sounds like you have been, and I don't know your story very much, but I have never been a suicidal person. I have never thought, I've always thought I could never get to that point. I'm a happy person. I like life. I could never get to that point. But going through this postpartum issue, I have had thoughts, not so much suicidal, like I could do anything, but thoughts, what if I just wasn't here? What if I just didn't exist? What would it be like? And that is terrifying.
The reality of a person with mental illness is not the same as the reality of people without it. And so I understand how people without it are just like, just get off your butt. Just stop moping around all the time. I get it. But the word depression and what it signifies is not the same as being bummed out. It is different. It's a physical problem. There are physical symptoms. It is an illness. You are sick. It's not the same as being like, I don't feel like getting out of bed today. I'm going to play video games.
Amen.
Anyway.
I say these things.
I would refer people to Elder Holland's talk from October 2013 conference.
Absolutely.
Yes,
and also,
one of the Saturday sessions of that one.
Episode in the 50s of the Cultural Hall. I don't remember exactly what number, but about where Richie interviewed a family of a boy who had committed suicide, and so eye-opening. And if you are someone who doesn't understand it and you think that people are just being lazy butts, maybe go listen to those things a little bit. That's all. I didn't mean to talk about it so long. I feel strong feelings about it.
I'm just trying to think of how I could make a joke to get
how
out of
you
it.
How do you transition? Don't make a joke out of that, but make a new joke.
Lindsay, we're recording this at Lindsay's house. I want you to know that in true fashion, I left the toilet seat up on your toilet.
Oh, thank you, Richie.
So when you make your way towards the restroom.
Don't sit.
No, you can sit.
I'll fall in because forget.
So you have the choice to sit and fall in or to put the toilet seat down.
That's
but
right.
I'm giving you your agency by letting you know what your choice
is. So we're going to blow you into it.
Richie's standard for toilet seats is he thinks everyone should leave them up so that when they go, you have to put them down to actually
sit
in.
So you know
so no one will fall in. And that's just not a thing. It's just not a thing.
It is the one thing that I have won in the Stedman and my wife's last name household.
Really?
Yep.
She lets you leave it up?
Yep. She doesn't like it.
Then you have to touch it to put it down.
You know what,
down.
Though? I clean it, and I clean it multiple times a week.
All right.
That doesn't even matter. Every time your bum sits on it, germs.
Why do you have a dirty bum?
Because your bum is dirty, inherently.
My bum's not dirty.
It's inherently dirty.
Why is your bum inherently dirty?
Because it's your bum.
The part of your bum, I am not getting into you with a ridiculous fight in your house again like we did last time, but your bum is no more inherently dirty than your hand. In fact, I would dare say your hand is multiple times dirtier than your bum. Not your bum hole, but your bum.
Don't say bum hole.
No?
No.
I like the word
I can't say
bum
the other
hole.
One.
This is a Mormon podcast.
Yeah. show.
Let's just not talk about it.
But the buttocks cheek is probably, I would bet, one of the cleanest parts of your body.
Just because it isn't exposed to the surfaces that your hands are,
per se. And it's protected by garments, so it makes it cleaner.
Oh, so it's clean. Okay.
I am cracking up watching Molly's face as you guys are having this conversation.
I just don't want to have to touch the toilet seat to put it down every time.
Well, so then clean your toilet more often.
So what's new with you, Molly?
Okay, that's not even even the issue. The issue is that you had to put it down.
Going to New York next week, so that's
sweet.
Something.
Fun. What are you doing in New York?
Are you going with your kids?
No
kid trip. Woohoo! That's awesome.
Yeah, my kids will actually be with their dad for the majority of July.
Nice. That's great. Or no, is that not great?
No,
that's
fine.
Great.
It's fine. And then I'll have them for
the majority of August.
Well, the end
and the
of
rest
July
of their
then,
lives.
Yeah. So yeah, but I'm going to my hometown in New York for my high school reunion.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Your 5-year is already happening?
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
I know. I mean, we just saw each other. We've all just barely completed community college. It's fine.
But you're going there for your 5-year high school reunion, plus 15. And what are you doing?
Actually,
reunions are a way bigger deal back east than
back
in Utah.
Yeah, exactly.
Utah east reunion, it's like, meh.
Yeah. I mean, because I just look at my own neighborhood, and most people who live in my neighborhood grew up with each other. In the same neighborhood. Yeah, and so it is a big deal back east. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask, do we have, as the Cultural Hall, do we have, some sort of, a flat Stanley or something like...
Oh, that we can take around and take pictures in different places? No, but we should.
Yeah.
You guys know what a flat Stanley is?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Can we get one of those? Let's think of something.
A better name.
What's a flat Stanley?
A flat Stanley is like a little
paper doll
guy, and you send him around to different places, and then you take a picture with him like, here's flat Stanley in St. Louis.
I think we should make it like life size. So you have to carry a life size like on the
impeding.
In the hymnal, the logo that's on the hymnal, it's like the organ thing, right?
The tabernacle?
Yeah, from the tabernacle. Carry that around life size.
Yeah.
And you have to take a picture with it wherever you go. And that's a conversation starter, and you can convert more people.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a missionary tool.
Sure. What is that big organ you're carrying around?
Yeah. Oh, nothing.
I'm not weird.
Well, thank you.
The reason I ask is because, and I don't want this to come off the wrong way, so I don't want teasing from you, mister.
When have I ever?
Never.
Okay.
It's not a sign of love, you know.
Yeah. I kick you because I love you.
Mm-hmm. I'm flying into Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Did it hurt?
And then immediately driving to Toronto.
Sure.
Now, when I, I got baptized at 8.
Congratulations.
Like you do. Well, mm-hmm. I also got baptized at a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Different kind of baptism.
I also got baptized when I was 30, so don't worry about it.
Awesome. We have a lot in common
seriously.
Way. Were you wearing a 100-year-old heirloom gown when you got baptized that other time?
Weird, right?
Fascinating. Okay.
I was like, I'll wear this.
Yeah.
I'm accountable for my choices. Anyway.
So, and then my family just went inactive. And then when I went back, by myself at age 12, our temple was D.C. So we had to take, a 12, 13-hour bus ride. That was my first temple. But then Toronto was built and dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, you didn't need a passport to get into Canada. So anyway,
you just walked?
Uh-huh.
And bye, Mom.
And so we're going to go.
There it is.
And
walked.
Thank you. And she had buffalo chips.
What?
Oh,
to keep her warm.
In Buffalo. Go ahead. Sorry.
And there was a soldier there.
Please continue.
Buffalo soldier? No.
Okay. I'm going to go to that temple, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to go to my reunion, and I'll be in my hometown for just a day or two.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go to the Palmyra Temple.
Cool.
Yeah.
There should be. We should get some sort of something that can...
And I'm going to be able to go backstage for the... Hilkamora pageant?
Oh, my gosh.
There'll still be a rehearsal?
Yes.
My voice teacher's the music director or something.
So, cool.
Anyway, and then when I fly out of Buffalo, I'm going to go to New York and just spend the day in Manhattan and go there too.
Nice.
All the temples.
Well, then I think...
we should do something.
There needs to be something.
Yeah.
So if anyone has any ideas, post them on Facebook.
Can always send them to me in an email to richie@theculturalhall.com. Sure. Something
Rich
that's
Richie.
Easy that we can come up with.
No, let's start that thread on Facebook. That would be a great... topic suggestion.
So mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing next week, but I'm trying to think what else.
Became a Zumba instructor, but we already talked about that.
We already talked about that.
Cool.
Zumba instructor.
We're working on trying to find Molly a husband so she can get into heaven.
Yeah, Richie tells me that I can't get into heaven now because yes, I don't have a husband.
As we were.
Oh, Richie.
Thanks, Richie.
You're a jerk.
I've been divorced for like 5 seconds.
As we were walking up to the house, I said, you know, you really need to have a husband so you can get into heaven. And she's like right now? And I'm like, what happens if you die?
I believe there will be opportunity for everyone.
Sure, but that's not nearly as funny. Do we want to talk about depression again? Because that will kill the room. But it was
I thought
funny
that was powerful.
Say,
I felt the spirit
no,
when
I
that
did
one.
Too. Yeah. I'm not saying that it wasn't a great benefit, but I am saying that there's not a great
not
amount of
funny
levity. There's not a great
so anyway,
amount of
I'm
levity.
Single.
So getting into heaven.
How are those cats, Jenny?
Right?
Yeah.
10 years till the kids are gone, and then no one will want you.
Oh my!
Keep it coming, Richie. Keep coming. I know it's not fun. It's probably not fun for you to be single. But remember the days where you could like online dating now is a thing. It's not cliche anymore.
Here's the deal. Let's take the joke aside. I'm not worried about Jenny at all. She's fine. She's going out and doing the stuff that she loves doing. And when she's ready to find someone, she'll find someone. So
I know, but I'm just saying she has an opportunity to kind of start over, right?
Yeah.
Like in her dating career.
Thank you. Dating career.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you got to do is
it's not a lifetime career. It's just right now. Like I'm staying home right now.
You got to get a big finding pool. This is how it was explained to me.
I'm
like
sorry,
for missionaries.
What?
Missionaries,
okay.
Right? Finding pool. So you got to make a lot of contacts, right? Potential yeah converts, if you will. Finding pool. That's
make
what that's
pass
called.
Pass along cards.
Yeah. Make.
Oh my gosh.
That would kill in Provo. Are
yes
you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
That is the greatest
yeah
thing ever.
I know that there are some hands I don't want those pass along cards to get.
But
to.
And what would you deliver to their house
oh
for free? That's
God
the thing.
With cookies.
No. Scotcheroos. Oh my gosh. So you need a picture of your kids and you at the park. And I would love to make this pass along card if you would please. Even if it's just a joke and we have Louise.
Or this could
yes
be your flat Stanley.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
She already has the picture.
That would be perfect. And then we can do the font on the back and the number that people can call to have Scotcheroos delivered to their house.
Okay. Here's the deal. Online dating. I
old-fashioned want it to be serendipitous.
See?
Yep.
I mean,
okay.
She's of the generation that refuses to do the online
it's not
dating.
It's not that I refuse. I mean, I've worked on... Today's my blog, my personal blog's birthday. I'm
yay
10.
Yay.
I've been blogging for 10 years. Like, I get some of my, you know, best people in my life have come from online relationships. But there is something about... Like, I'm just not there yet. I have friends
sure
who are like, no, really, we have to get you on Match. Really. Or
yeah
or Tinder. And they're like, oh, no, but it's safe and it's fine. And you don't, you know, if you swipe right, they have to swipe right also. And I'm like,
yeah.
But I also just feel like I'm a social person. I know enough people who know enough people.
Mm-hmm.
So
online dating for me was really fun, like in between my ex-boyfriend and meeting my husband, because uh-huh it was kind of like just speed dating, right? It was like you didn't have to do all the work of like going out on dates and like the awkward conversations. You could just be like, you're cute. Nope, you're not cute. Nope. And it's kind of a shallow way, you know, but physical attraction is important when you're meeting people, right?
Uh-huh. So but did you meet your husband?
Not online.
Yeah.
No, in person. So
how'd you meet him?
At the bank where he
oh
worked.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was a teller at Wells Fargo and I frequented that bank just slowly filling out my deposit slip like, until his window was open.
Like, I'd like to deposit $5.
3 cents, yeah please.
And in an hour, I'll be depositing $5.
Exactly. And I would wait until his window was open, and then I made him ask me out. So that's a story for another day. Anyways, I think that...
She's writing it down. Do you hear the
yeah
clicking of the keyboard
yeah
in the background? And then make him ask you out.
I understand you have to be ready for it, because it, yeah it can be overwhelming. But I think that online dating is now not as taboo as it once was.
Of course, yeah. And I actually... I'm a hypocrite, because I encourage people to, you know, do that all the time. And to not be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the one in Sunday school being like, all right, all you old people, stop saying that screens are bad.
Mm.
And anyway, I'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
We're not
and
worried
my brother's
about you
single, so there you go.
Hey.
What does that mean?
If all else fails,
oh
that's what I'm
do
saying.
Do you have a million people asking to set you up?
No. I have one friend who told me that she's terrible at setting people up.
And you're like, hook me up.
Mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Because it's always like kind of awkward, like this is what that person thinks of you on an attractiveness scale.
Right.
Because this is the person they set you up with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, yeah, I...
Picking her words very delicately.
Yeah, I am.
You'll
you're
be
not
fine.
Supposed to, you're not supposed to even date for a year, so don't worry about it.
You are not the boss of me.
Yeah?
Can we...
No, like, you can be like, hey, let's go out, friends, but...
Wait, I have a question.
Having spoken to several people who have been divorced, they said anything that they got into seriously in the first year, they wish they would have seriously not gotten into it in the first
year.
We've
had this conversation.
Would you be open to
meeting someone from the cultural hall?
A cultural hall, win a date with Jenny, like or like a segment where you could come back and report on dates. Would you be open to that? Because I think that people could follow this journey. And it could give hope to others who
She's
are
crying
in your
in her
case.
Hands right now.
Why not? What?
Let me pray about it.
Okay. That's fair. That's valid.
I'm 100 years old.
Do you think that's
a
good segment?
Sure. I love the opportunity to be able to talk about Jenny about anything that she's going through being a
Molly.
Divorced. Yeah, Molly. I've already said Jenny twice.
Yeah, Rob always forgets.
Yeah.
Every single sorry.
Was I supposed to call you Molly?
It's fine.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
No, but following her journey on a whole, not just, you know, meeting someone, but also being a divorced LDS woman, I think is important. Is
Thank
an
you.
Important dialogue. So
yeah, I, was gonna say,
I encourage you always to share whatever, even, but only if you'll share also when it's hard and it sucks, because then it's real. Otherwise, it's everything's so great.
I've already got that stuff in my pocket for when you want it. But are we doing a divorce panel thing?
Yes, we are.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
If we do, like, maybe I'll save it for that.
Okay.
Instead of.
So you, anything else? You guys moved, I heard.
We went to Yellowstone last
week. And then you moved back into your new house when you came back.
That's right. We moved out for a week and then we moved back in.
How was Yellowstone?
It was really awesome. And
were the kids
like
good?
So kind of idyllic that there's not really anything to say. We saw bison.
Did you see bears?
We saw bears at the Discovery Center in cages.
Old Faithful?
We saw Old Faithful. We saw the
Did you
lower
see Young
Falls.
Unreliable?
Yes, my children.
Young Unreliable?
That's the one right next to Old Faithful.
Actually, there is one called Young
that's
and
the guys that
Unreliable. It's
yeah,
called
that's
Steamboat.
The one that goes off whenever it wants to. Young Unreliable.
Yeah, it's called Steamboat Springs, actually.
Oh.
We saw Mammoth Springs. We ate lots of ice cream and we caught fish. So
that's awesome.
It was great.
Yellowstone is surprisingly fun.
I was so worried that my kids would be like, we should have gone to Disneyland.
Right.
But they, you know, by the very end, I'd be like, look, it's a buffalo. And they're like, yeah, because we'd seen like 100 of them. But
uh-huh.
They thought that all the geothermal features were really rad, and it was fun.
Did you teach
really
him Tatanka? Tatanka!
No.
I don't even know what that is.
Dances with Wolves.
Oh.
How old
Did
is everyone in this room?
A bison?
100.
Thank you.
32.
Burger?
No, a buffalo or whatever they are walk up to your car and like...
Start to nudge
We didn't have anybody attack us.
I wish you could
us.
See Lindsay's face right now.
But there were bison like right next to the car. Like, hey, bison.
Hey, buddy.
Bison.
See you later, bison. I'm trying to think of what I... Oh, I'll tell you this story. So this is what's new with me. Sometimes I think that I have free time.
Wow.
And this story will illustrate...
You're deluded. You're a liar and a thief.
This story will illustrate this. So last week, right after we recorded Articles of News, I was thinking and said as much to my wife, hey, you know what? I don't have anything going on Saturday. We might be able to go do something fun. Tuesday night comes and I get a text message from someone that says, hey, what time are you planning on being here on Saturday morning? We were thinking 6:30.
Ugh.
And I was like, 6:30 works perfect. Remind me where again? And it was Sugar House Park. I was there. A good friend of mine, his daughter passed away from cancer a few years ago, and they do the Princess Millie Foundation. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this. Mm. Huge deal. Raises money for kids with cancer and the families of kids with cancer. So they do a big race, and they have a prince and a princess, two kids that are suffering from, that are fighting cancer. And then it's an all-day thing at the park. So I was there until 1 o'clock. And then later on Tuesday, or I'm sorry, on Wednesday, then I'm talking to my wife, and I said, hey, guess what? I got this thing Saturday morning, but the rest of my day should be fine. Wednesday afternoon, I get a text message from my friends at Thanksgiving Point who were like, hey, so the run on Saturday night starts at 7 o'clock, so if we can have you set up by about 6:15, 6:30, that would be perfect, and it'll go till about 9:30. And I was like, yes! That was the thing that I signed up for like 4 or 5 months ago. So then as the week went on, there was another...
You need a calendar.
There was another DJ.
You need a personal assistant.
There was another DJ at the radio station who couldn't do their radio station remote. So that was my day. The thing in the morning that I forgot about, the thing that came in last minute, and then the thing that I had told people I would do 6 months ago. So the entire day in Utah's 95-degree weather, couldn't be inside at all.
Oh.
For 6:30 in the morning until about 9:30 at night. I got home, and I haven't washed my hair since then. And if we can get a picture of this for Anna, I'm looking good. This is for our Instagram. Look at this good-looking hair.
I was going to tell you looked a little tired.
Yeah.
But when people tell me I look tired, that's a girl speak for you look like bad. Crap. So I didn't want to be that person.
You look tired.
You know what?
Can I tell you something, though, that is a compliment to you? I don't
What's
often
that?
Compliment you.
Uh-oh.
You sent me a text mm-hmm. on Saturday morning at 10:58. So my event was going on mm-hmm. until about noon. And it said, I hope the event went awesome. Send pictures so Anna can share them via Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a selfish text just so we could talk about it on the Cultural Hall. But it meant a lot to me that even in your busy day, you had so much going on.
Well, I knew that it was a huge deal for you.
Yeah.
That's all.
And you sent me a text and it meant a lot to me.
Oh, thanks.
So good job.
Thank you. Let's share an email or two, and then we'll come back and do actual articles of news, okay?
Great.
This one is from Lois.
Hi,
or is it
Lois.
Lewis? But I'm pretty sure it's Lois.
Lois.
What's up, Lo?
Hi. Just wanted to tell you, I love you all.
Aww.
I listen to your show every night with my earphones on as I go to sleep. Makes for some pretty good dreams, LOL. That's it. That's Lois.
Really?
Yep.
That's it?
That's all Lois.
We need to say something creepy so she has weird dreams tonight.
Wake up, Lois.
Count those sheep, Lois.
And you're worried and you can't sleep. No?
Nope.
You know it.
Count your panelists instead of sheep.
I dream of liverwurst.
Cultural Hall choir.
No, thank you.
Yes.
I get volunteered for so many choirs. It's like, do you want to sing in Sunday school? Because they need someone to sing. And do you want to sing it?
But you guys have great voices and I want to hear them.
I'd like to hide my voice under a bushel.
who's not going to heaven now?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm married.
Oh.
Here goes the air out of your insult. No, you'll be fine. There's plenty of guys in heaven. They're waiting for you. I can't wait till she dies. I'll marry her. No? Is that not a great way? Think about it. You could marry Pioneer Dude. Those guys were ripped.
What?
Wait, you hate Pioneer Dude?
Stop being gross.
Why is that gross? There's not age in heaven. There's what? Wait a minute. What's gross about it?
This is not even a thing. She doesn't have to wait till she dies.
Read the email.
She won't wait till she dies. I know that. She's too impatient. But I'm saying...
What does that mean?
I love that everything is... What?
I don't know what you mean.
I'm a hotbed.
Well, you're on a panel with three girls right now. You're going to lose every argument.
I was going to say, I'm a hotbed of ready to being fired up. I'm an insult away from cracking. No?
I love you guys.
I happen to know that she's dating someone, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
He's from Canada. You wouldn't know him.
Canada, eh?
Niagara Falls area. Okay, go ahead. What's the next email?
I'll show you a picture of him. He exists, I swear. He's real.
Manti Te'o style?
Yeah, I'm totally catfishing Jenny.
Molly.
It's fine.
Molly Jenny.
This one is from Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
I'm not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll share it. Hi, Richie. I hope that you read this email on your show, which is why I'm sharing it.
He called it a show. That's a good start.
First, I hope you had a good Father's Day. Thank you, Kevin. I did. Second, I want to respond to what the guest last week said about modesty. That was Lexi from Beauty Redefined.
Love her.
He says...
I have a feeling that with who's sitting around this table. I don't know how well this email is going to go over.
No, bring it on. Let's go.
No, I know how this email is going to go.
Okay, go.
Says, let's just keep it at a time limit, all right?
That's fine.
All right. I disagree with what the guest said completely, that the young women's leaders shouldn't teach young women not to wear tank tops and to wear their shorts just below the knee. The church has to teach this, says Kevin. Does she not remember the talk that Dallin Oaks made in the April 2005 conference in the Sunday afternoon session? Elder Oaks said that if you, the girl, is dressing immodestly, then you become pornography to him. It was something along those lines. By the way, I would have no issue with the guys learning about modesty as well. What about the day when us guys have to wear garments? I once heard about a stake president telling parents in a stake conference that if you want to teach your kids about modesty, then have them wear shorts down below the knee so they can prepare for wearing garments when they get older. This goes for guys and for girls. The church has to teach girls not to wear tank tops and things like that. That isn't to condemn women who wear tank tops, but the church has to draw the line somewhere. I think the church does a fine job at teaching modesty to young women. I do agree with your guest from last week about saying that girls have better self-esteem when they wear modest clothing. Will you put your sleeves down? It is distracting
nope.
to me.
Sorry,
sexy shoulders are smoking.
I also agree with her that maybe we should say what research says about the topic, but I disagree with her on the church doing a poor job at teaching modesty. He continues. I will illustrate the point by sharing you a story. Many people think that just because I am blind, I am immune to pornography. That is a flat-out lie. I remember holding to a cute girl's arm while going from high school to seminary, and the girl was wearing a tight shirt. I can't see and noticed it. Let's just say that I had thoughts going through my head that shouldn't have been going through my head. It is true that I did have self-control and didn't act upon them, but if the girl wasn't wearing a tight t-shirt, then I wouldn't have had those thoughts in my head at that time.
Oh,
see?
Brother.
Hang on. The church has to teach modesty to young women. After all, your guest said herself that a woman's body image is being too commercialized. Maybe not in those exact words, but that's what she said in many ways. I will write or talk later. Kevin. Everyone gets one response to the email, and then we're going into the second half of Articles of News.
My response is, until you are a woman and know what it feels like to be a woman in this world, I don't take you very seriously. The end.
My thoughts are, fix yourself before you wreck yourself.
Worry about yourself.
Yeah, fix your brain before you wear shorts that go above the knee, yo.
That
like,
doesn't
come
rhyme.
On. I know. I couldn't think of anything clever.
Or make
but
a
fix
very
your
good
brain.
Song.
That's what I want to say. Like, come on, dude. Nobody causes those thoughts to go into your head. If they go into your head, that's your own. It's your own deal.
People have arms. People sometimes have to touch other people's arms. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, coming back in the second half with actual articles of news.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Many of our customers are computer experts with decades of experience that are so smart they know how to build their own computers with their own bare hands. Yet they buy their computers from PC Laptops because of one thing. The PC Laptops Desktop Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. If a video card blows up, normally you'd have to mail it to Chumbawamba for weeks to get service. Imagine having your computer down for weeks. Experts buy from PC Laptops because time is money. And if you have a part fail on your PC Laptops desktop, we will replace it forever for free. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops locations. While supplies last, $7.99, you can't beat that deal. Please visit us at any one of our locations right now. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers with a lifetime warranty for just $7.99.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, please, Petra.
You can't lose Articles of News.
Thank you. All right. That's Peter in a different language, I think.
You think.
In Hunger Games language.
Yes, in Hungarian.
No, that's PETA.
I thought
PETA.
Yeah, you're right.
PETA Malark.
What a...
what a bunch of malarkey.
Any of you guys watch Last Man on Earth, the TV show on Fox?
No.
No. Okay. Never mind. I made an interesting discovery about that TV show today. The guy, the main guy, who's played by Will Forte within the TV show, his character's name is Phil Miller, and that's named after the two creators of the TV show. Phil and somebody Miller.
Brilliant.
So they took the first name and the last name.
Wow. That's something.
But where you guys don't watch that show, it doesn't matter. It
means nothing.
Means little to nothing to nothing. It means something. Why do you have a storage pod? I want to ask you about this. So what's in the storage pod?
My basement flooded back in January,
yeah,
and it's still gutted. And we have been having a really hard time finding a plumber to come out and do the things we need
Shamrock
to do.
Shamrock Plumbing.
Okay. Thank you for the referral. We found one. He's coming next Monday. So all of our stuff is in pods and has been since January.
Okay.
Yep.
So like if I wanted to steal your whole basement, I'd just... forklift that pod right out of here.
Go right ahead.
Anything worth it?
No, probably not. No, not really. But our basement's going to be rad when we redo it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Drawing up the plans and everything?
Yeah, well, they're already drawn. Just waiting on the plumber.
You can't lose.
No, we already did it.
I know.
It's articles. All right. What That's would you like to talk about, Joni?
Passive-aggressive way of saying we're not actually doing articles of
news. All right.
I think people care more about our lives.
There's an agenda here, apparently. Let's get back on board.
I'm sorry. I just thought maybe we could talk about the purpose of our show here today.
Hold this hand right there.
Hi.
This is from the Salt Lake Tribune.
Dry.
I know. It's because I'm a man. I got man hands.
I got some of that workers lotion in there.
Oh, yeah?
The green stuff in the green
thing. I like to have dry hands.
Okay.
True story, actually, my wife prefers that I have dry hands that are rough as opposed to smooth hands that are soft.
I do not want
to
know why.
No, not anything. There really isn't any. I swear, there's not anything more to it, but just that. Cause her
she doesn't like moist.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Man.
Yeah, she doesn't want. Yeah, exactly. And her dad is a farmer. Farmers inherently have really rough, calloused hands.
So that's like manly.
She equates man with rough hands.
Okay.
This from the Salt Lake Tribune. Remember is a significant word in the Latter-day Saint faith. The word is found more than 240 times in the Book of Mormon. Scores more in the Doctrine and Covenants and also in the Bible. We remember April 6th as?
The day before my birthday.
And?
The day Christ
all the church was born. Established.
Organized. A Christ was born. Founding of the church. We remember May 15th as?
May 15th.
What's May 15th?
Flag Day.
Almost school.
For the church.
I don't know.
Restoration of the priesthood.
Oh. Okay.
We remember the 24th of July as?
We don't get taught about that in Relief Society.
Well, you should.
They don't.
24th of July as?
Pioneer Day.
Right, when the saints came into the valley. But we institutionally only remember the pleasant moments in history. June 8th. You see a big party, a big celebration, a big remembrance of June 8th. Anybody know what June 8th was?
Day Joseph Smith was.
It is 5 days before my birthday, but that's not the significant thing about it. It is the day that the ban of the priesthood for black members of the church was lifted. June 8th. And year after year, it goes by without remembering it.
That's terrible.
For many, like myself, writes Juliana Vegas Haas. Could be a relative. It's a Haas.
Hmm.
Oh. Who are subject to the ban during their lifetime. June 8th is far more significant than July 24th, because none of us were alive when the pioneers came to the valley, or May 15th, because none of us were alive when the priesthood was restored. It was not until this date, on June 19th, June 8th, 1978, that the children of God of African descent were finally allowed, after over a century and a half, to equally partake in the temple and priesthood ordinances. Today, the church has nearly 500,000 members in sub-Saharan Africa, 3 temples on the continent, 3 more announced, and a handful of black area authorities. In addition, the church has tens of thousands of black members in other areas of the world, yet we still fail to remember June 8th as a holiday within the church.
I'm putting that in my phone right now.
And I think for next year's Cultural Hall Family Home Evening, I think we'll do it on the 8th.
Good idea.
Just to help celebrate the thing. And we'll get our buddy, Mormon history guy, Russell Stevenson, and have him be part of it.
Yeah, he's like in Africa right now or something.
Yeah, doing all sorts of studies with his doctorate on African studies. So plan on it. June 8th, 2016, Cultural Hall, celebrating the day.
Awesome.
Who wants to go next? Let me let Joni go because she wants to make sure that we stay on topic and we get right to it. I'm going to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup.
So this may not be like the most pertinent thing, but it's cool to me.
Then we're going to have to move along.
And it's cool to the Cultural Hall, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I am a huge fan of the show So You Think You Can Dance. I am not a dancer, but I love to watch people dance, and I am always amazed at what the human body can be pressed to do, and I think it's beautiful. So I watch it and have watched it faithfully for years. And a couple years ago, no, like this, 3 years ago, a girl from Provo got into the top 10. Her name was Lindsay Arnold. She then went on with her friend Whitney, and they became stars on the show Dancing with the Stars. So they have become kind of, you know, TV names.
Chelsea Hightower, right?
Chelsea Hightower also has been one of those people. But Lindsay Arnold
is not Chelsea Hightower.
But you said Lindsay and Chelsea, didn't you?
Lindsay and her friend Whitney.
Sorry,
Carson. So Lindsay Arnold just got married this past week. And so on Entertainment Tonight, there was a big article and I read it. And then they talked about her wedding. They very briefly mentioned that she went through the traditional Mormon ceremony, a.k.a. temple ceremony. And then they had a ring ceremony, and then they had a really big, it was a pretty big deal. And with her boyfriend that they've been dating since they were like 16 years old. And lots of celebrities were there, and it was like big and photographed. And then they talked about how cool the reception was and how they had awesome music DJed by Rob Ferry.
He was on the news?
He was mentioned in the article.
Does he know this?
I don't know.
I don't think he does.
Rob, wow. What in the world?
So the article that I'm looking at that specifically mentions his name was in the Inquisitor. And so it's talking about her like a celebrity wedding. And then it was like, and then the night continued with awesome dancing and music from DJ Rob Ferry. And here's the exact quote. As you could probably imagine, there was quite the dance party after the meal, as DJ Rob Ferry played some of the best dance tracks to keep everyone out of their seats and on the dance floor for most of the night.
Shut up.
Well,
he doesn't know this.
I know that he
doesn't
know this.
He would have posted about this already.
And he would have insisted on being here today just so he could talk about that.
So, sorry, Rob, I broke your news, but I thought that was way cool that I just happened to come across him in something else that I was reading. Also, this past week, So You Think You Can Dance held their auditions in California. Well, I mean, it was a long time ago, but they aired it this past week. Mm-hmm. And they did a segment on a guy named Brandon Armstrong, who was the guy that danced with Lindsay Arnold when she auditioned 3 years ago. But he was too young to be actually competing. Mm-hmm. And they told him, you are good. Come back in 2013. So it was 2012 when he auditioned. But then he went on a mission. And so he couldn't come back until this year. And so they did like a whole segment about how he went without auditioning so he could go on a mission. And he talked about his mission to Kat Deely, who's like one of my idols. And anyway, it was really cool. So we'll post that link of that little piece about Brandon Armstrong. And we'll also post the article about Lindsay Arnold's wedding, which DJ Rob D DJ'd.
That's awesome.
And the coolest part
Does he do that?
Was that I found out that Rob was a DJ. I was like,
right?
I wonder if it's the same
That's
Rob Ferry.
So weird.
And I referred Rob to another person who was looking for a DJ too. So he's just getting.
So you knew that he did this already?
Apparently, I'd heard somebody told me he was a DJ, and
I think it was
like,
him. He talks about it, but I didn't know it until he said it.
Okay, yeah.
Fascinating.
Speaking of missions, an LDS mom, a Utah mom creates an LDS mission prep app.
Ah, I saw this.
Did you see the story? It is a socially motivating app. It's called LDS.
You're great. That's what it does. Every time you're like thinking about a mission, you hit the little button. Way to go, pal.
Keep going. You can do it. It's called LDS Mission Prep Xtreme. So the letter X, Xtreme. It assists in preparing prospective missionaries and giving them missionary experiences. So she started this Kickstarter campaign to raise money for the app. She raised $11,000 on Kickstarter. And it's going to be available in September. It comes with 21 different challenges. And once a user has completed the 21 challenges, they have the option to participate in more. They post their experiences on social media, and then they can tell those people like what they're doing, and it starts conversation. So the challenges are like try 3 new foods, or arrange a meal for another family, or make a list of 4 prophets from the scriptures. And learning about the rejections those prophets faced. So I guess you complete these activities and then you can post about them and it preps you for your mission. So
cool.
Yeah.
Even if you're not Mormon, you can get the app, download it, and then once you've completed all 21 challenges, they call you on a mission. Even if you don't want to go, you get called.
And they say, would you like to hear more about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
They go, the Mormons? Sure. What have you got, Jenny? Molly? You?
It's fine.
What have you got?
It's fine.
Yeah, let's do
okay,
it.
So this, I have all the really uplifting and light news today. Has anyone here run Ragnar before?
I have. I've done it a couple times.
Yeah, I have too. Okay. Friday. Was it Friday?
Friday morning. It was way early.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
He was doing the run up Avon Pass.
Yes, which is a beautiful...
I had that leg one time.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, it's beautiful, but...
Yeah. It's gorgeously up a hill.
Yep. Ragnar,
so for people who don't know.
Yeah, it's a relay race. The Wasatch Back Ragnar... There are Ragnar races held all over the country, but it started here in Utah with the Wasatch Back race, and... The Wasatch Back race is 198 miles from Logan, Utah to Park City, and it traditionally consists of teams of 12, though there are like super teams who do teams of 6 people, mm-hmm. and they just double up on the legs, but it's a lot of fun. It's exhausting in the best kind of way.
You run 3 times, mm-hmm. typically,
over
if you're
the
on a 12 team,
of
a course of 36 hours.
Yeah, 36 yep. hours.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of organization that goes into it, but... It's not uncommon to have to run early in the morning for your first leg, middle of the night, the next one, and then the heat of the day for your third, or, you know, any combination thereof. Well, I'll share this. After supporting his wife as she and her friends ran the Wasatch Back Ragnar Relay each June, Tyler Rash decided to join the fun this year. Just a few miles into his first leg of the 200-mile relay race, the Park City father of 3 collapsed about 8:15 a.m. in the northern Utah town of Paradise. A paramedic and registered nurse saw Rash collapse and immediately administered CPR. He was pronounced dead at Logan Regional Hospital a short time later. The death stunned those who ran the race, which began Friday in Logan and ended Saturday at Soldier Hollow in Midway. We'll post a link to this article, but it's just really stunning shock for this family and community, not just the local community where they live, but also the racing community, which, you know, for those who don't know, it's a really supportive and loving community. There's a GoFundMe page where donations can be made to the family. Yeah.
Mormon family, right?
Yeah.
That's yeah. Well, that's what I wondered. And then I saw there's
that
a link about,
Utah.
Yeah. That they're from Utah and that, where I'm trying to find the...
In Cache Valley.
Well, and that like he and his wife got together. Even,
they're actually
even
not from
though,
Cache Valley.
Even though she went to Bingham and he went to Alta. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, our thoughts and prayers go out to that family.
Let's
and And speaking of family tragedies, the family that from Provo that passed away in the plane crash. Their little boy Max has been released from the hospital.
Oh, great! Oh.
He was at church yesterday.
Great.
In a wheelchair. Yeah.
That's awesome. Police say that an 18-year-old Utah man set fire to the kitchen of an LDS church because he said, quote, "I hate churches."
Yeah. Get it.
Logan, Utah resident Antonio Justin Rosa called 911 on Monday to report a fire that he allegedly started in the kitchen of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Cache County Sheriff Chad Jensen said Rosa had broken in through a window. He admitted starting the fire because he, quote, hates churches. Jensen said the fire was contained to the kitchen. Rosa was charged with aggravated arson and burglary, both felonies. I hate churches, says Rosa.
Sometimes there are people, and I think, how are we the same species?
No, like, if you don't like something, you burn it.
Right, I guess.
That's how it works. Hold on, let me tell you about this. Small town of Manti. It's getting a population boost over the next few days. You know why? It's a Manti pageant. You guys ever been?
No.
Lindsay?
No, I want to go.
Just Joni, you ever been?
I guess
been?
I haven't.
Okay.
I thought I did.
One time.
Yeah?
Yep.
Two times. Mm. Here's the thing about the Manti pageant and me. For those who don't know what the Manti pageant is, old temple in about the center of the state of Utah, town called Manti, gorgeous temple up on a hill. On the hillside, they do a big pageant similar to the Hill Cumorah pageant.
Yes, I have been there.
Talk about the history of the church. There's some pretty amazing lighting stuff that they do. And it's an opportunity for a lot of people that if they don't know anything about the church, you can go, oh, hey, come on. Person who doesn't know about the church, let's go see a play that's sort of non-threatening. Not sort of non-threatening. It is non-threatening, but it's, you know, a thing that you can go and enjoy and do. And then for, like, young men and young women's groups, it's a great activity. We'll go down in a bus or in a caravan and we'll watch the Manti pageant. I've done it twice and have never been able to stay awake because it's always on a summer night, so the day is hot, the night gets cool, you get on a blanket, it's dark, and I'm gone.
It didn't get dark until 10.
And I'm gone.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. So you're just
when
sleeping.
I went, I forgot. I actually was sitting next to a guy, and I noticed that he was deaf and using sign language, and I kind of started trying to communicate with him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm Donnie Osmond's brother. I was like, oh.
Oh, really?
Did you say you dropped something?
No. Is that your phone number?
Name.
You dropped something. Was that a name you just dropped there? Yeah. Donnie's family.
Don't know if you've ever heard of us. Yeah. The Osmonds?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
The dog has.
Bear. Sorry. Buddy's probably looking at the mailman, maybe?
Yeah, could be.
Maybe.
That or he just got excited about Donnie Osmond. Anyway, Mike Kahut has been cast 47 years in a row in the Manti pageant.
Wow.
It's now in its 49th season, so he's only missed twice. There's nearly 1,000.
For a mission?
Yeah. There's only been 1,000 cast members involved this season. The community event goes far beyond what is seen on the stage because everyone is a volunteer. From traffic control to those who set up the 14,000 chairs. It's a great thing for the community, and they always have, like, all the businesses in Manti have, like, Manti pageant sales and huge yard sales and, you know, anything that you would want to eat that would be bad for yourself, you can get it at the Manti pageant. So that's going on. And then this, 4 million records. No, we're not talking about the Osmonds. Did you see what I dropped there? Mm-hmm. A name.
I picked it right up.
The Mormon Church is leading efforts to index records of about 4 million former slaves and their families in the hope of connecting African Americans with their Civil War era ancestors.
I love this.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has sponsored a nonprofit organization called Family Search, which made the announcement alongside senior LDS officials in Los Angeles on the 150th anniversary of Juneteenth, which is June 19th, the day when word reached the last group of slaves that the Civil War was over and that they were free. This quote from Elder D. Todd Christofferson: "One of our key beliefs is that our families can be linked forever, and that knowing the sacrifices, the joys, and the paths of our ancestors trod help us to know who we are and what we can accomplish." So they're asking for people's help. 4 million records. That's a considerable amount. Jermaine Sullivan, a black LDS church leader who oversees 9 Mormon congregations in Atlanta, Georgia, said he hoped the announcement would do something to bring hope and healing to communities devastated by the South Carolina church shooting. Sullivan's wife, Kembe, noted that Juneteenth is a time for the celebration of family, reflection, and self-improvement, and for the planning for the future. So people looking for something to do, you can help index with the names. If you have an account with LDS.org, you can actually just do it from your own home. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Index in your own home. Log in. Do it.
Speaking of the shooting, I just want to ask you guys, did you guys, if you went to church yesterday, I don't know, I'm not the boss of you. Did anyone mention anything about it, about the shooting yesterday in church?
No.
You, Richie?
In my ward, in the ward I attended, no.
Okay. In the ward I attended, also, no.
Do you think they should have?
Yes, I do. So this is veering off a little from our typical, you know,
Mormons.
Like Mormons in the news and stuff like that. But I feel like I need to share something that a friend of mine wrote. Her name is Kelly Wickham. She is a well-known blogger. That's how I am connected with her. But she's also a very smart, passionate. She's an educator. And she discusses race a lot. She has a voice that discusses race in a way that that I have never heard before. I think it's really unique, and I think it's really important. And I know for me, when I heard about the shooting, it was one of those things where I just kind of naturally, I am embarrassed to say, just kind of tried to push it away. Like, oh, I can't. I don't have the capacity to take that in. But being that this is not uncommon anymore,
not even anymore,
just at all.
Yeah, it's hard. I feel stupid because I feel numb to it. Where it's like, oh, geez.
Here we go again.
Well, and what on earth do you do, right? I mean, it's just like I was, you know, probably making scotcheroos or doing dishes or something in my kitchen and listening to NPR and like, oh man. Like, I don't even know what to do. And I want to say something, and I don't know what to say, and I want to do something. So Kelly, with her permission, though she graciously says I don't need her permission, but I will be also sending her a link to this episode, she wrote a post called Let's Get to the Work of Anti-Racism. And the purpose of it is to help us kind of, instead of asking, you know, like what do I do? This post outlines, here are some first steps. You want to know how to be, well, for those of us sitting at this table, white allies to what is going on. Here are some steps.
Give them to me. I'm ready.
Okay.
Give me a couple.
All right.
And then we'll post a link at theculturalhall.com so people can read the full scope of this thing.
Right. Okay. I mean, it's a really long post and it's very detailed. But she talks about some organizations. She said, this one I'm currently working with is Crossroads Anti-Racism Organizing and Training. The definition we use is this: race prejudice plus the misuse of power by systems and institutions equals racism.
Okay.
And I just think that where has this happened at a Bible study? I mean, come on.
Right.
When I finally did kind of allow myself to go there emotionally, thinking about the shooting, I was like, could I like go to church and just get shot?
Yeah. I've often thought like there's so many people who are angry at the LDS church. Sometimes
well,
I'm like.
And I mean, I by no means am I saying, well, yeah, Mormons know what it's like because if you're white, you don't.
Yeah.
Because this was racism. This is racism. But the element I think that's pertinent here for this show of it having happened at a church, you know, brings to mind our church's history of everything that happened in Missouri.
Violence, yeah.
So
So but she lists another, some steps that
yeah,
we can do?
Yeah, well, and some organizations to look into if you want to know where to go. There's Community Change.
To me, as I think about it, I wish that this were, you know how we, the Bishopric's going to pick Fifth Sunday lessons?
Yes.
I wish it was, I wish that they would pick
hard, thing, yeah. hard, hard stuff, hard, like hard things. Conversations, yeah. or, like real or, conversations.
Like you get the porn one. I feel like we get the porn one. And
we even get money, accounting and stuff.
Right.
And we've gotten like the home visiting teaching one like 500 times in a row. Like I get it. Yeah, we need to be better neighbors.
If you got it, you would do it better.
None of your business, Richard. but I agree with you. One thing that Kelly said just to me, she said, I'm hoping churches will pick this up to see as a battle worth fighting. We're too segregated. We're more segregated at churches than we are at schools. And, you know, because this church in Charleston is an historically black church.
Right.
You know, she said, you don't have to go out and protest, but you can become anti-racist and aware in ways that move the work forward. And that it's an institution that was built by our ancestors and it's got to be torn down. I agree. We need to have these hard conversations and just kind of...
Is she Mormon?
She's not.
Maybe we should talk to her anyway. Have her come on and talk about racism.
Yeah. She lives in Illinois. I mean, she
phone.
Call in and...
I've got a phone.
She's brilliant. I mean, I would
love brilliance. I'm not a fan of brilliance.
Anyone smarter than Richie doesn't get to come on.
If I can find someone brilliant... No, that'd be great.
She,
actually,
okay,
if you reach
right,
out to her, I'd
I
love
sure
to
will.
Talk to her about it.
Yeah, I really will. But
that's
just,
okay. Are we all right with that, do we think? We can breach out from...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Fine. I love an open podcast show. Or an open,
what made me think of it is that you know, she's been posting about it for a few days, but today, this morning, she on her Facebook wall put, church friends, hey, are you doing okay today? You know, like, I just want you to know I've been thinking about you, and I'm pretty sure Jesus was a social activist, so I just wanted to kind of, you know, to share that. And we'll put the link to this article that she wrote. It's really great. She said, where we are currently in the conflict and chaos stage is a painful place to be. It is, as Jon Stewart mentioned in his entirely humorless segment on The Daily Show last night, which I hope you all saw that, a gaping racial wound that will not heal, but we pretend doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
No jokes. No jokes.
Yackety sacks. All right, here we go.
Yackety sacks.
What is... That's a song.
The Benny Hill theme?
Yeah, it's called Yackety Sacks.
I didn't know that's what it's called, but I know it's a palate cleanser.
Okay. Teens and leaders from the church recently reunited to build a replica of the Nauvoo, Illinois temple.
Neato.
The video, which is now posted at theculturalhall.com, filmed on the first day of a pioneer trek for the Cedar Hills, Utah West Stake. The original Nauvoo Temple, built in Illinois by early Mormon pioneers before their trek west, later destroyed by arsonists. This one, over 340 youths and 75 adults spent 3 hours building the 27-foot-tall replica, according to UtahValley360.com. The next morning, they watched as their replica was partially destroyed by a mob. And really, it was just that guy, I hate churches!
Where's the kitchen?
Some of my friends were involved with that little mini Nauvoo thing, and they're very proud of it. They should be.
I think
it's a big deal.
I think it's awesome.
Yep.
It's just too bad about that guy hating churches so much. The bomb squad responded Friday.
DI?
Yep. After an authentic military mortar was donated to DI.
Oh,
DI
really?
Is like the Salvation Army. It's like Goodwill. It's owned by the church in here in the state of Utah. There's a couple in Nevada and Idaho, I think. An employee at the Welfare Square Deseret Industries, which is the big one downtown, found the round, that being the military mortar round, among items that had been tossed into the trash Friday afternoon. It looks like the item was donated to DI, and while things were being processed, it was tossed into a dumpster. This employee saw it, picked it up, and inspected it, and went, wow, this doesn't look right. The employee called police at about 1:15. The Salt Lake City Police Bomb Squad and Hill Air Force Base Bomb Squad responded to the DI, and military personnel transported the mortar from the site and disposed of it. We don't really know much about the round itself, or how it got there, or anything like that. We just recognized it being an explosive device that really shouldn't be at the DI.
That's terrifying.
The police initially reported that the mortar was live. It was later confirmed that the ordinance did not include the blasting apparatus that would have been needed to detonate it.
So somebody found it in their attic, and they're like, I don't know, put it in the DI box.
Yeah, but take it to DI. Just hope it doesn't fall into the hands of the guy who hates churches. we got that. I'll end on that one. That one's...
You have a story, Joni?
Thing there. What do you got, Joni?
Did you know that
Elder
Oaks went to Boise and gave like a meeting?
It's the Boise Rescue. That's what I'm...
The Boise Rescue.
That's what it's being touted on social media.
So, Elder Oaks...
Heard of him.
...had a free weekend. And so he decided that he was going to... This is coming from KUTV. Had a free weekend and decided to go to Boise because Boise has a high concentration of saints and hold a meeting. And he spoke specifically about false prophets. When you follow false prophets, when you start towards apostasy, you are on the wrong side. Stand fast with the leadership of the church, he said. And he was also joined by Richard Turley, who is a church historian, who said, one thing that we sometimes hear is that the church is no longer the church that was restored to the earth by the prophet Joseph. Here's another claim, Oakes said. The church is focused on following the brethren instead of seeking Christ. Those claims have been made by Denver Snuffer, an attorney from Sandy. Snuffer was excommunicated 2 years ago for spreading his ideas, including the thought that Mormons should be able to be rebaptized. He lectured about that in Boise. Anyway, so it goes on to say that the church has denied that the reason Elder Oaks came and said those things was specifically because of the things that Snuffer had said. They're framing it as, we just went there and he just said what he felt like he needed to say. And Snuffer said, I don't know that I have a following. I know that there's a group of people that are discontent, or is discontent, if you're quoting exactly. And
the group is.
The church insists many speculated that Snuffer and other like him were the reason for this meeting. Snuffer told 2 News traffic to his website has spiked since the Boise gathering, but the church insists that's not the case and that Oaks simply saw the opportunity to visit Boise to teach important doctrines of the church. So the thing that I find, and this was introduced to me by a friend of the show, Annette. Thank you, Annette.
Annette Lyon?
Yeah. And
Mutual friends.
Mm-hmm. I think it opens an interesting question, because
the answer is yes, as far as I'm concerned.
But you don't want me to ask it?
I would like for you to ask it.
The question is, does the church monitor things and go out and put out fires, or do we really see this as he was inspired to go to Boise and he was inspired to say some things and they just happened to address a fire? Like, are they specifically putting out fires, or is the Spirit just leading them to spray water that happens to put out the fires?
Can it be both?
That's what I'm just wondering. But specifically in this case, the church is saying it's not in response to the guy.
Well, I think anytime you put something online and it creates a buzz, like, you're going to get the attention of the church.
Right.
And isn't that what you're trying to do, is get the attention of everyone around you? And
right. So to me, it would seem like almost impossible for it not to be a direct, you know, a direct rebuttal to this guy and the things that he's saying in Boise. But the church is saying, no, it just happened like that.
Well, let me pose the question the other way. If the article said, yes, there's a specific organization within the LDS church that specifically targets those who would speak ill against the church, would that make you feel?
It would make me feel like they were being honest.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really have strong feelings about it either way. It just opens up questions about, I wonder how it happens, why it happens, when it happens, who it happens.
There's a secret handshake, and the brethren just know it. And right. Then when you, like, it's like a fist bump with the little something else.
How do
else
you know it?
I just know things.
Yeah.
And that means go to Boise. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They point their thumbs down if it's to Nevada.
Yeah.
Up if it's to Boise. Here's what I know about it. Literally firsthand.
You a prophet?
No. But here's what I firsthand know about at least
the Boise Rescue.
Partially what you're saying. There is a committee within the church that.
Yes, there is.
That follows things like the Cultural Hall, things like Mormon Stories, anything that's online.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Follows, monitors, and is wholly
Do
aware.
They listen?
Don't know.
Oh.
No, hi. They monitor.
They monitor in some fashion.
Okay.
Of what's going on.
Okay.
So that much I know. So that's as much as I can speak to.
And either way, I'm not actually bothered. Like, I don't have that strong of an opinion about it. I just like to think about it. That's all.
As a really crappy example, if I find out that my kid is smoking, I'm going to go tell my kid to not smoke. I'm going
sure.
to... It's not that I've never told them before not to smoke, but they need to be reminded. I'm
sure.
not going to be like, pretend... I don't want to know if I should say these words. Pretend to be like mystical or something about like, no, I just thought. I was just like, oh, I just remembered. I haven't talked to you about smoking in a while.
Right.
I would be like, hey, no smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do a couple more news stories and be done. What do you
have?
Say?
You have big things to share with us.
Oh, I know. I've got big things. Now I can't remember one of them.
One of them involves a lot of people. One of them concerns nobody.
I don't remember the one that involved a lot of people.
What?
Just pause.
I don't remember. It'll come to me. Give me a minute. Let me share you this. This is a great story. There is a book called The Accidental Terrorist Confessions of a Reluctant Missionary.
Ew. Wow.
Science fiction writer William Shun is at long last releasing his memoir, The Accidental Terrorist, in book form. It's revised and expanded from his popular podcast. It tells the story of how he was expelled from Canada for terrorism as a young Mormon missionary. Pre-orders now for a signed hardcover edition that will ship at least a month before the retail version hits shelves. And when you buy, you can also create and display your own accidental terrorist missionary name tag to show your support.
Wow.
Mormon missionaries, we've all seen them. The well-scrubbed young men in suits and ties biking down our streets two by two. Some of us have even been invited into their home, having them invited into our homes. William Shun knows, having served a Mormon mission in Canada, he's not afraid to tell in his witty, ribald, and thought-provoking memoir. He takes us back to his youth in Reagan-era Utah, where the pressures of family and community combined to push him and his friends out of the nest at the tender age of 19 and into a world where movies, music, and girls are off-limits. 70-hour work weeks are the norm, and everyone's first name is Elder. It's, The Accidental Terrorist illustrates the hijinks and hazards that result when curious young minds submit to the straitjacket of blind faith. It's a journey unlike any that you've ever had. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what this is all about because I just think it's sort of silly. But I may get him as a future guest here for the Cultural Hall. Just because why not, right?
I'd be interested in that, yeah.
Cuna, depending on how you want to pronounce it. It's Cuna. Calvin Newby was determined to visit 100 temples constructed by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in his lifetime. The lofty goal was born when former president of the LDS Church, Gordon B. Hinckley, announced a plan of building the 100th temple by the end of the 20th century. At that point in his life, when President Hinckley said that, he'd only been to 19 temples. After enduring cancer for more than 5 years, he made it to his 100th temple in Germany, just 2 weeks before he died on May 19th.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
A retired veteran and father of four, Calvin Newby was diagnosed with liposarcoma in 2010 after doctors discovered a football-shaped 25-centimeter mass in his stomach.
Oh.
100 temples. Good for that guy?
Yeah.
Let's see. That one. I'll save a couple of these. A couple of these aren't too timely. We'll end on this one. Church leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You guys heard of that church?
The Mormons?
Yeah.
They're cool.
I'm thinking about joining. actually.
Yeah.
Thinking about joining.
They're working hard at making Sunday a better day of worship. Why are you rolling your eyes? Well, you don't want Sunday to be a better day of worship?
Sunday's a great day of worship.
It's part of this initiative.
Chock full of worship.
Bishops have been asked to include ward councils in planning sacrament meetings. According to the Church Handbook 2, way better than the first one.
Oh, the red one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Remember, yeah, the prequel was terrible, but Church Handbook 2 was awesome. Members of ward councils include the bishop.
Electric
the ward
boogaloo.
Clerk, yeah. Church Handbook 2, electric boogaloo. Members of the ward council include bishopric, ward clerk, ward executive secretary, high priest group leader, elders quorum president, ward mission leader, and presidents of the Relief Society, young men, young women, primary and Sunday school. Ward councils traditionally meet once a month, and during those meetings, they have been asked to plan sacrament meetings together a month in advance, if possible. So this is a big deal, although this sounds like not a big deal, right? It's a big deal because now it's a church-wide thing. There are a lot of wards where this already has existed. Bishops have said, you know what? It's for the whole ward. The ward council should be a part of it. Get everyone in here. But there are some wards where it's been like it's the bishopric's job to be instructive to the church, and we're inspired, and that's it. What it's good for is a couple of things. One, it provides the opportunity for women to have more input as far as the church meetings go, whereas in some wards, in some cases, they didn't have the opportunity. And then secondly, it provides more input so that maybe we can start to have a greater variety of things taught from the pulpit, greater consideration for topics that maybe haven't been talked about, a sensitivity to things that are going on in the ward that haven't been attended to in the past.
Things that are applicable to the very local area that need to be discussed.
Because every ward's different, too, and has different demographics.
Yeah, so you can read about PETA in Church Handbook 2, Electric Boogaloo, now out.
the red one.
Yeah.
But it's like church red, so it's like burgundy.
Yeah, so when you watch the trailer, it's the red one, not the green one. Mm-hmm. The green one's the first one. That's safe for all ages. What are we done? What just happened here?
I don't know.
Yeah, so check that out. All these links and more available at theculturalhall.com. Be listening for next week's episode of Articles of News, or maybe this Friday's. Oh, actually, I don't remember still the one that affects everyone. The big news that affects everyone. Oh, no, I do remember. I do. I mean, I knew it would come up. There's three things now. This Friday's episode is great. If you haven't listened to an interview episode in a long time, check out this Friday's episode. It is the woman who, she wrote a blog that said, "The Story of a Not-So-Typical Mormon."
Oh, yes.
And it's awesome. She talks about, she was an entertaining dancer for years, and she talks about her path and journey to the church. So that's awesome. That's number one. Do we want the news that affects no one but is a really cool deal, or do we want the news that affects everyone?
Which is better to end on?
I don't know.
No one.
No one? You want the news that affects no one?
Yes. I kind of want news that affects me.
You want news? Let's go this way.
Let's just keep talking about which one we should do.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth.
Yeah. How about you just tell us both?
I'm going to.
Okay.
I just wondered which order. I'll say this. Tomorrow, I'm having a meeting for a complete website redesign.
Ooh.
So it will be something that will be useful and easy to figure out. So if you have things that you don't like about our website, send me an email, richie@theculturalhall.com. Or I like this part, but I don't like this part. I hate that this happens, but I love that this happens. Whatever those things are, send them to me, richie@theculturalhall.com. So that's the thing that affects everyone. Now here's the really cool thing. You ready for this? Joni's ready. She's ready to be done with this thing. This is big news.
I'm ready.
Break it.
The Cultural Hall has now surpassed its 1,000,000th download.
Yay!
Slow awesome. Clap. Yeah. 1,000,000. So thank you to everyone who has been a part of that 1,000,000 plus downloads now. That's a huge deal, and we'll make a bigger deal out of it online with some graphics and stuff like that coming up in the future. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety.
Please bless these Reese's peanut butter cups that we all just ate, that they can nourish and strengthen our bodies.
I can never think of these things. I was going to say, bless the sugar out of all this crap.
You can say that.
That's fine.
And please bless the sugar out of all this crap.
And I've got a new one, too.
All right.
We hope that you have a good day.
Please bless Jesus.
Yeah. You can't do real ones in the...
We're grateful for our many blessings.
Yeah. I would truly be ungrateful if I didn't tell you. Thank you.
I love my parents and my roommates.
Yeah. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back